Review terms of reference. Review terms of reference. If you go to paper B and appendix 1.
Sorry to be rude, but last night we passed an email to the members. I'm not sure where on this agenda we should.
Can you use your microphone?
They're not working.
No, if we can, yeah, I have mine on as well. Try now.
Last night I sent an email to the members about discussion we'd had about mental health review. I think it would be important at some point on the agenda today that we mention that and update on the support of mental health on the board. So whether you want at the end of the meeting, end of this meeting,
need to be here.
No.
I'll create an opportunity for that as we go along. If we now can stay with the terms of reference, I just wanted to pick up what you made about voting to item 7. So what we have before you on the is a paper under paper B, which is a standard council structure paper outlining the terms of reference of this board. There's a recommendation that the Health and Wellbeing Board agree and recommends adoption of the proposed terms of reference, and the RMI Council's constitution is amended to reflect this. So that will be the ultimate decision of any vote we take. At Appendix A, you have a layout of the terms of reference. The purpose of the board is to be the key forum for overview of the island's population's health and wellbeing, make plans to improve it and ensure delivery of the priorities. That's our overall purpose. Under the terms of reference of 2.1, the board encourages all those who arrange for provision of any health or social care services to work closer together. Under 2.3, the board must also take the lead to undertake a joint strategic needs assessment. Under 2.4, it also oversees and ensures the translation of the JSNA into a joint health and wellbeing strategy. And under 2.5, the Health and Wellbeing Board receives reports from the Local Safeguarding and Children's Board and the Local Safeguarding Adults Board, and they're included in their annual report. Turning over the page to B5, at 5.1 is a list of the current agreed membership of the board. At 5.2, states that the chairman of the board will be the Isle of Wight Council leader and the vice chairman will be the chairman of the Isle of Wight CCG. And under 10, there is a board will be supported by subgroups if needed. We have one currently, which is the JSNA steering group that operates and reports back to us. That's the key elements that are being recommended in terms of reference. Picking up the point that Claire has raised, under item 7, voting will be by a show of hands. A simple majority prevails, and in the event of a tied vote, the chairman will have a casting vote. So referring back to the point you made on the last minutes, the majority will have voted, and that's why it would have been recorded in the way it has. So I'll come left to right then. Bob?
Thank you, Chair. Going back to 7, I understand what you said, that the majority obviously wins. It used to be the case in the full council, I think it was something proposed by Councillor Brodie, that every vote should be a recorded vote. I'm not suggesting that we do that here, but what I am suggesting is if a member wants a recorded vote on a specific issue, they should be allowed to ask for it.
Can I ask what the purpose of that would be?
It may be that it's in the public interest that it's on the record how everybody voted. But I wouldn't say every issue is happening on a regular basis, but there are the occasions when, you know, a member feels strongly enough that, you know, and I can't see why it should be a problem if it's been on the record how people voted.
Okay, Michael, and then I'm going to go across to Justin.
I think it's important because we're here to represent organisations and pools of people. So I am here as the chair of the Voluntary Sector Forum. I discuss with that forum things on the minutes, right? And what I should be voting, not me as a politician,
as a representative.
But me as the chair. if I then vote on the fact of the voluntary sector, so on the suicide prevention, the voluntary sector objected to that strategy, the voluntary sector, not just me. Therefore, I think it's important to record, right, yes, the majority, totally table, the majority said that, accepted democracy. But whatever an organisation has difficulty with something, it should be minuted so that people know that there are still questions to be asked, i.e., a particular movement, the voluntary sector, 1,500 organisations across this, within the sector, who, you know, there was a feeling that they were not being included in that strategy, right?
Okay. Okay. So I'm just going to pick up two things. I think by inference you're going to second what Bob is suggesting.
Yes, I am.
And also that it should be recorded in the minutes if there is a dissenting view, so that in the example you've given, that can be taken back to the group and say, well, I did dissent.
If that organisation requests...
Okay,
if that organisation requests any of us here that they would like to be noted for their dissenting view, that is known in the public
realm. Right, so just for clear for my mind, you're quite comfortable with the majority vote. We don't need the named vote, but if there's an organisation that has a dissenting view, you'd like it recorded in the minutes.
Yes.
Right. Justin.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to put some context, in terms of references that before you today, we'll sit at the front of the Constitution and outline the broad remit of this Health and Wellbeing Board and the President of the Section of Liberal voting just to confirm the simple majority. Those terms of reference will sit alongside the standard procedural rules that apply to full council and cabinets and other committees. So the current constitution provides that in relation to committees, unlike full council, the three members present at the meeting demand before the vote is taken for names for and against the motion to be recorded. They can do so, and equally, where any member requests it immediately after the vote is taken, the vote will be so recorded in the minute to show whether they voted for or against the motion or abstained from voting. So those procedural rules already apply, and my advice would be not to complicate the terms of reference unless you wish to do something different.
We could, in the terms of reference, and say we will follow the procedural rules. If we do that, that deals with it, I think. Yeah. Okay, so we can have a consensus, Councillor Brady, and then I'll come back.
Just to say, from what Justin just advised us, the minute the previous minutes is correct, do not need to refresh the third minutes because no name vote was asked for prior to the vote taking place.
But what we'll put in our terms of reference is a sentence that says only procedural rules apply which allow us to cover. Jane, did you have a comment?
Yeah, it was just a couple of comments on the membership, which is just to just to reflect on the membership, the roles within the CCG. So we don't have a chairman, we have a clinical chair, and we don't have the chief officer role now, that would be the managing director.
So that should be clinical chair. And we don't have a chief officer role, that would be the MD of the CCG. Are members happy with that being amended to reflect what the current structure is? Amanda?
Thank you, Chair. Just in terms of paragraph 2.5, about the awards and the courts, both for safe and the children's board and the adults board, would you be interested in community safety partnerships in reports from them as well? The checklist now already includes the strategic assessment which is undertaken by the Community Safety Strategic Partnership. We also share reports with both the safeguarding laws as well. I didn't know whether you'd like to include that in here, in the basis of a lot of the ongoing work around crime and disorder is looking at more of a public health approach, which is around looking at what underpins that crime and disorder, which then does cross over into the boundaries of safeguarding and health and well-being as well, and it all ties in with that. So I just wondered whether you'd like to include that in that paragraph.
Hey, Rob, any views on that? Okay, so what's being proposed is because community safety naturally does impinge on the health and well-being of the community, that we could invite them to report back to us as a health and well-being board so that we're kept abreast of that aspect of health and well-being. Which actually probably sounds sensible to me. What's the
issue? Actually, I think Simon was right about that. He's very interested in
this. So you'd be in support of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So if members are happy, we'll include in that particular paragraph, you've just got yourself a job now, so bring a report in due course. Okay. Any other points? So on the basis of what we've discussed and the amendments that we've agreed, are members happy to accept the recommendation?
Yes.
Okay, we can not. Just again, just highlighting that.
No,
That's the heat. Right, so we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. If you go review of terms of reference. If you go to paper B and appendix 1.
Sorry to be confused, last night we passed an email to the members. I'm not sure where on this agenda
the issue is. You use your microphone for
them. They're not working.
No, if we can, yeah, I have mine on as well. Try now.
Are they working now?
Yep.
Last night I sent an email to the members about the discussion we'd had about mental health with you. I think it would be important at some point on the agenda today that we mention that and update on people in support of the health and well-being board. So whether you want at the end of the meeting, end of this meeting,
need to do
what you do.
I'll create an opportunity for that as we go along. If we now can stay with the terms of reference, I just wanted to pick up a point you made about voting to item 7. So what we have before you on the page is a paper under paper B, which is a standard council structure paper outlining the terms of reference of this board. There's a recommendation that the Health and Wellbeing Board agree and recommends adoption of the proposed terms of reference, and the Isle of Wight Council's constitution is amended to reflect this. So that will be the ultimate decision of any vote we take. At Appendix A, you have a layout of the terms of reference. The purpose of the board is to be the key forum for overview of the island's population's health and wellbeing, make plans to improve it and ensure delivery of the priorities. That's our overall purpose. Under the terms of reference 2.1, the board encourages all those who arrange for provision of any health or social care services to work closer together. Under 2.3, the board must also take the lead to undertake a joint strategic needs assessment. Under 2.4, it also oversees and ensures the translation of the JSNA into a joint health and wellbeing strategy. And under 2.5, the Health and Wellbeing Board receives reports from the Local Safeguarding Children's Board and the Local Safeguarding Adults Board, and they're included in their annual report. Turning over the page to B5, at 5.1 is a list of the current agreed membership of the board. At 5.2, it states that the chairman of the board will be the Isle of Wight Council leader and the vice chairman will be the chairman of the Isle of Wight CCG. And under 10, there is the board will be supported by subgroups if needed. We have one currently, which is the JSNA steering group that operates and reports back to us. That's the key elements that are being recommended in terms of reference. Picking up the point that Claire has raised, under item 7, voting will be by a show of hands. A simple majority prevails, and in the event of a tied vote, the chairman will have a casting vote. So referring back to the point you made on the last minutes, the majority will have voted, and that's why it would have been recorded in the way it has. So I'll come left to right then. Bob?
Thank you, Chair. Going back to 7, I understand what you said, that the majority obviously wins. It used to be the case in the full council, I think it was something proposed by Councillor Brodie, that every vote should be a recorded vote. I'm not suggesting that we do that here, but what I am suggesting is if a member wants a recorded vote on a specific issue, they should be allowed to ask for it.
Can I ask what the purpose of that would be?
It may be that it's in the public interest that it's on the record and everybody does it. I wouldn't say I'm visiting happening on a regular basis, but there are the occasions when, you know, a member feels strongly enough that, you know, and I can't see why it should be a problem if they're on the record how people voted.
Okay, Michael, and then I'm going to go across to Justin.
I think it's important because we're here to represent organisations and pools of people. So I am here as the chair of the voluntary sector forum. I discuss with that forum things on the minutes, right? And what I should be voting, not me as a politician,
no, as a representative,
but me as the chair. If I then vote on the fact of the voluntary sector, so on the suicide prevention, the voluntary sector objected to that strategy, the voluntary sector, not just me. Therefore, I think it's important to record, right, yes, the majority, totally tabled by the majority, accept and adopt democracy. But whatever an organisation has difficulty with something, it should be minuted, so that people know that there are still questions to be asked, i.e. a particular movement, the voluntary sector, 1,500 organisations across this, within the sector, who, you know, there was a feeling that they were not being included in that strategy, right?
So I'm just going to pick up two things. I think by inference you're going to second what Bob is suggesting.
Yes, I am.
And also that it should be recorded in the minutes if there is a dissenting view, so that in the example you've given, that can be taken back to the group and say, well, I did dissent.
If that organisation requests...
I've got that. Okay,
if that organisation requests any of us here that they would like to be noted for their dissenting view, that is known in the public
realm. Right, so just to clear my mind, you're quite comfortable with the majority vote. We don't need a named vote, but if there's an organisation that has a dissenting view, you'd like it recorded in the minutes.
Yes.
Right. Justin.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to put this in context, in terms of references that before you today will sit at the front of the Constitution and outlines the broad remit of this health and wellbeing board and has that section they're not voting just to confirm the simple majority. Those terms of reference will sit alongside the standard procedural rules that apply to full council and cabinets and other committees. So the current constitution provides that in relation to committees, unlike full council, with three members present at the meeting demand before the vote is taken for names or against the motion to be recorded, they can do so, and equally, where any member requests it immediately after the vote is taken, the vote will be so recorded in the minutes to show whether they voted for or against the motion or abstained from voting. So those procedural rules already apply, and my advice would be not to complicate the terms of reference unless you wish to do something different.
We could, in the terms of reference, and say we will follow the procedural rules. If we do that, that deals with it, I think. Yeah. Okay, so we think we have a consensus, Councillor Brading, and then I'll come back.
No, he's not smoking,
this will say from what Justice has advised us, the minute the previous minutes is correct, do not need to refresh the third minutes, because no name vote was asked for prior to the vote taking place.
But what we'll put in our terms of reference is a sentence that says only procedural rules apply, which allow us to cover. Jane, did you have a comment?
Yeah, it's just a couple of comments on the membership, which is just to
Sorry, Jane.
Just to reflect on the membership, the roles within the CCG. So we don't have a chairman, we have a clinical chair, and we don't have the chief officer role now, that would be the managing director.
So that should be clinical chair. And we don't have a chief officer role, that would be the MD of the CCG. Are members happy with that being amended to reflect what the current structure is? Amanda?
Thank you, Chair. Just in terms of paragraph 2.5, How about the board to support both the Safe Line Children's Board and the Adults Board?
Yeah.
Would you be interested in the community safety partnerships in reports from them as well? The JSA already includes the strategic assessment which is undertaken by the Community Safety Strategic Partnership. We also share reports with both the safeguarding rules as well. I didn't know whether you'd like to include that in here, in the basis of a lot of the ongoing work around crime and disorder is looking at more of a public health approach, which is around looking at what underpins that crime and disorder, which then does cross over into the boundaries of safeguarding and health and well-being as well. And it all ties in with that. So I just wondered whether you'd like to include that in that paragraph.
Hey, Rob, any views on that? Okay, so what's being proposed is because community safety naturally does impinge on the health and well-being of the community, that we could invite them to report back to us as a health and well-being board so that we're kept abreast of that aspect of health and well-being, which actually is probably sounds sensible to me. What's the
issue? Actually, I think Simon was right about it. He's very interested in
this. So you'd be in support of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so if members are happy, we'll include in that particular paragraph, you've just got yourself a job now, so bring a report in due course. Okay, any other points? So on the basis of what we've discussed and the amendments that we've agreed, are members happy to accept the recommendation?
Yes.
Okay, we can not. Just again, just highlighting that
the...
That's the heat. Right, so we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. Go to paper B and appendix 1.
Sorry to be rude, last night we passed an email to the members. I'm not sure where on this agenda we should.
Can you use your microphone?
They're not working.
No, if we can, yeah, I have mine on as well. Try now.
Last night I sent an email to the members about the discussion we'd had about mental health review. I think it would be important at some point on the agenda today that we mention that and update on people in support of mental health and well-being board. So whether you want at the end of the meeting, end of this meeting,
what do you
do?
I'll create an opportunity for that as we go along. If we now can stay with the terms of reference, I just wanted to pick up what you made about voting to item 7. So what we have before you on the page is a paper under paper B, which is a standard council structure paper outlining the terms of reference of this board. There's a recommendation that the Health and Wellbeing Board agree and recommends adoption of the proposed terms of reference, and the Isle of Wight Council's constitution is amended to reflect this. So that will be the ultimate decision of any vote we take. At Appendix A, you have a layout of terms of reference. The purpose of the board is to be the key forum for overview of the island's population's health and well-being, make plans to improve it, and ensure delivery of the priorities. That's our overall purpose. Under the terms of reference of 2.1, the board encourages all those who arrange for provision of any health or social care services to work closer together. Under 2.3, the board must also take the lead to undertake a joint strategic needs assessment. Under 2.4, it also oversees and ensures the translation of the JSNA into a joint health and wellbeing strategy. And under 2.5, the Health and Wellbeing Board receives reports from the local safeguarding children's board and the local safeguarding adults board, and they're included in their annual report. Turning over the page to B5, at 5.1 is a list of the current agreed membership of the board. At 5.2, it states that the chairman of the board will be the Isle of Wight Council leader, and the vice chairman will be the chairman of the Isle of Wight CCG. And under 10, there is the board will be supported by subgroups if needed. We have one currently, which is the JSNA steering group that operates and reports back to us. That's the key elements that are being recommended in terms of reference. picking up the point that Claire has raised, under item 7, voting will be by a show of hands. A simple majority prevails, and in the event of a tied vote, the chairman will have a casting vote. So referring back to the point you made on the last minutes, the majority will have voted, and that's why it would have been recorded in the way it has. So I'll come left to right then. Bob?
Thank you, Chair. Going back to 7, I understand what you said, that the majority obviously wins. It used to be the case in the full council, I think it was something proposed by Councillor Brodie, that every vote should be recorded vote. I'm not suggesting that we do that here. But what I am suggesting is if a member wants to vote and vote on a specific issue, they should be allowed to ask for it.
Can I ask what the purpose of that would be?
It may be that it's in the public interest that it's on the record how everybody voted. But I wouldn't say every decision is happening on a regular basis, but there are the occasions when, you know, a member feels strongly enough that, you know, and I can't see why it should be a problem if they're on the record how people voted.
Okay, Michael, and then I'm going to go across to Justin.
I think it's important because we're here to represent organisations and groups of people. So I am here as the chair of the voluntary sector forum. I discuss with that forum things on the minutes, right? And what I should be voting, not me as a politician,
no, as a representative,
but me as the chair. If I then vote on the fact of the voluntary sector, so on the suicide prevention, the voluntary sector objected to that strategy, the voluntary sector, not just me. Therefore, I think it's important to record, right, yes, the majority, totally tabled by the majority, accept adopt democracy. But whenever an organisation has difficulty with something, it should be minuted. So that people know that there are still questions to be asked, i.e. a particular move of the voluntary sector, 1,500 organisations across this, within the sector, who, you know, there was a feeling that they were not being included in that strategy, right?
Okay. So I'm just going to pick up two things. I think by inference you're going to second what Bob is suggesting.
Yes, I am.
And also that it should be recorded in the minutes if there is a dissenting view, so that in the example you've given, that can be taken back to the group and say, well, I did dissent.
If that organisation requests.
I've got that. Okay,
if that organisation requests any of us here that they would like to be noted that they were dissenting view. That is known in the public
realm. Right, so just to clear from my mind, you're quite comfortable with the majority vote. We don't need a named vote, but if there's an organisation that has a dissenting view, you'd like it recorded in the minutes.
Yes.
Right. Justin.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to put this in context, in terms of references that before you today, we'll sit at the front of the Constitution and outlines the broad remit of this health and wellbeing board and as in the section they're not voting, just to confirm the simple majority. Those terms of reference will sit alongside the standard procedural rules that apply to full council and cabinets and other committees. So the current constitution provides that in relation to committees, unlike full council, with three members present at the meeting demand before the vote is taken, the names or against the motion to be recorded, they can do so, and equally, where any member requests it immediately after the vote is taken, the vote will be so recorded in the minutes to show whether they voted for or against the motion or abstained from voting. So those procedural rules already apply, and my advice would be not to complicate the terms of reference unless you wish to do something different.
We could, in the terms of reference, and say we will follow the procedural rules. If we do that, that deals with it, I think. Yeah. Okay, so we think out the consensus, Councillor Brading, and then I'll come back.
No, he's not spoken to the commissioner.
This is the same for what? Justice has advised us the minute the previous minutes is correct.
Yeah.
Do not need to refresh the third minute because no name vote was asked for prior to the vote taking place.
But what we'll put in our terms of reference is a sentence that says only procedural rules apply, which allows us to cover that. Jane, did you have a comment?
Yeah, it was just a couple of comments on the membership,
which is just to
sorry, Jane. just to reflect on the membership, the roles within the CCG. So we don't have a chairman, we have a clinical chair, and we don't have the chief officer role now, that would be the managing director.
So that should be clinical chair. And we don't have a chief officer role, that would be the MD of the CCG. Yeah. Are members happy with that being amended to reflect what the current structure is? Is that Amanda?
Thank you, Chair. Just in terms of paragraph 2.5, I've got the awards and reports both for Save on the Children's Board and the Adults Board.
Yep.
Would you be interested in community safety partnerships in reports from them as well? The GES already includes the strategic assessment which is undertaken by the community safety strategic partnership. We also share reports with both the safeguarding rules as well. I didn't know whether you'd like to include that in here, in the basis of a lot of the ongoing work around crime and disorder is looking at more of a public health approach, which is around looking at what underpins that crime and disorder, which then does cross over into the boundaries of safeguarding and health and well-being as well. And it all ties in with that, so I just wondered whether you'd like to include that in that paragraph.
Okay, Rob, any views on that? Okay, so what's being proposed is because community safety naturally does impinge on the health and well-being of the community, that we could invite them to report back to us as a health and well-being board so that we're kept abreast of that aspect of health and well-being, which actually probably sounds sensible to me. What's the issue?
Actually, I think Simon was right about it. He's very interested in
this. So you'd be in support of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so if members are happy, we'll include in that particular paragraph, you've just got yourself a job now to bring a report in due course. Okay, any other points? So on the basis of what we've discussed and the amendments that we've agreed, are members happy to accept the recommendation?
Yes.
Okay, we can not. Just again, just highlighting that
the...
That's the heat. Right, so we'll move on to the next item on the agenda.